Dip, 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 dip. Sha-la-la-la, sha-la-la-la, puddle. Sha-la-la-la, sha-la-la-la, puddle. Sha-la-la-la, sha-la-la-la, puddle. Sha-la-la-la, sha-la-la-la, puddle. Dip, 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 dip.
Good evening. This is the Labor Exchange, and I'm Dennis Kreese, a member of the Boulder Area Labor Council, AFL-CIO. The subject of tonight's program is a report from the Democratic National Convention, Philadelphia, PA, July 25th through the 28th, 2016, and other labor news. And with us for this interview is a special guest from the past. It's been here on the Labor Exchange, and it's Mike Serbo, retired past executive director, Colorado AFL-CIO, and past president, Unite Here, Local Union 23, AFL-CIO. Mike, thank you for being available for this interview.
You bet, Dennis. Good afternoon.
Mike, while you are a native to Darby, Pennsylvania, Metro Philadelphia, what moved inspired you to make this trip, and what are some of the low-budget efforts you are utilizing as part of this trip?
What inspired me was the fact that this is one of the more, probably the most historic convention in our lifetime because of so much that's at stake in our country today. And the right-wing reactivism, I guess you could say, reacted, whatever. I just want to be part of the future and our efforts to have a nice future for our children and our heirs. And really proud to just be in town checking this out. I'm not a delegate, but I just want to be part of it and help move our agenda forward as working families.
Let's go back to low budget. Is it? Are you getting a good night's sleep on your brother's lumpy couch? And how's the number 11 trolley doing?
Yeah, the couch is not that lumpy. It's pretty comfortable.
Okay.
I'm staying with my brother in Darby, which is just outside Southwest Philly, and I take the trolley into the convention. It's a 15, 20-minute trolley ride. Gets you right downtown, and very convenient. So I'm enjoying it.
So
the weather would cooperate a little better, but yeah.
Well, it looks like that effort's working out pretty good for you at this point. Mike, let's get into the content of the show. The Democratic National Convention, July 25th through the 28th, 2016. As we speak, are you anywhere near the main venue location for this convention, Wells Fargo Center? But if not now, but if you have been, what have been your visual impressions in terms of delegate activity, police security, media, et cetera?
Yeah, I'm not down by the Wells Fargo Center right now. I went past it last night. I've been spending most of my time downtown. Wells Fargo is down in South Philadelphia. But there's a lot of activity, a lot of buzz going on. You see a lot of people energized, energetic, although the heat is stifling. But, yeah, a lot of people, a lot of activity going on, a lot of police. The police are very pleasant. Which are not always in Philadelphia, but they're actually part of the scene, and a lot of security, a lot of heavy security, which is good because of some of the incidents going on around the country and the tension. But they're a real professional group, the Philadelphia Police, this week. I got to give it to them. So a lot of media. I saw MSNBC today had a setup along Ben Franklin Parkway in downtown Philly. Got to see Trevor Noah up close from that late night show. That guy's a class act. A lot of excitement. A lot of people really happy to be part of this. So, yeah,
Mike,
what's going on?
Have you seen any kind of protests or demonstrations here, while you've been there? And if so, what kind may they be?
I observed a couple marches yesterday. The environmental groups were out protesting or communicating how they want us to move past fossil fuels, want us to move past fracking. A spirited group, well-organized group. So it was interesting to watch them parade from City Hall down to Independence Hall. And the Bernie people, the Sanders people, were out yesterday with a march, and they were out this morning with a march down Broad Street. I observed them, and talk about an active group. Holy cow.
Yeah, I was thinking back to when we used to talk back in the 80s about, you know, you had the upper hand with, you know, Philadelphia Flyers contrary to Pittsburgh Penguins. I think it was called the Broad Street Bullies, but maybe that goes back to the 70s. But I thought of that today, and I was going, well, you know, Sanders is pretty well organized. We got the Broad Street Bernies, and that's doing good. So, Mike, that leads me into this one, the Democratic National Convention activities at the Pennsylvania Convention Center at Center City at or about 13th and Race. Since your arrival on Friday, July 22nd, have you been in this part of the city? And if so, did you have the opportunity to visit the Pennsylvania Convention Center? And again, what kind of visual impressions did you have?
Yeah, when I first got into town, I got into town Friday night late, but when I first went into town for the convention on Saturday, I went to the convention center and I sat in on the rules committee meeting. The convention center is massive, cavernous. It's a big convention center. I think it's a little larger than Colorado's in Denver. But it was real fun. It was interesting sitting on the rules committee meeting. And I'll tell you, you've got to be a wonk, and you really have to like this stuff like I do to sit in on a rules committee meeting. But it was really interesting. The Bernie folks really prolonged debate, and we had a good debate. They had a good debate on the superdelegate issue and wound up very satisfied with the direction a commission's going to go in evaluating the superdelegate rules. And I understand that there's already been some agreement on decreasing the number of superdelegates. So it was really interesting and fun sitting through a rules committee meeting. I got to meet Donna Brazile. I've seen her a zillion times on TV. Love that woman. And it was really a kick to meet her in person. Say hi. So yeah, I've been down to the convention center and a lot of activity, interesting inside baseball stuff with the rules committee. And it was just fun to sit in and actually see it done in person.
Well, that's really convenient and a great opportunity to meet Donna Brazile, because with Debbie Wasserman being resigning as the party chair either sooner rather than later, Donna Brazile is going to be the interim chair. So that was a timely get to meet her.
Oh yeah,
Mike. Union delegates last night, Sunday, July 24th, Richard Trumka, president of AFL-CIO, held a reception for union delegates elected as either Clinton or Sanders delegates. Were you able to attend this event? And if so, could you give an estimate on how many union delegates will be at the Democratic National Convention?
I got to the labor event last night, but I got there late. I ran into some friends of mine with the State County Municipal Employees Union. And went to a little meeting they had going, educational forum with a lot of their members, which ran over. So I got down to the labor reception, as it was getting near the end, President Trump was there, Secretary Treasurer Liz Shuler was there, and it was a big crowd. I can't really give you a good estimate on how many people were there. I'm guessing 300, 400. But it was a big crowd, lively crowd, a lot of Philadelphia soft pretzels, a lot of tasty cakes were there. Okay. But yeah, spirited bunch. And overall, the labor delegation is united in support of Hillary Clinton to be our next president. We did have, I guess you call them factions, before it was pretty well decided that she was going to, she got to be the presumptive nominee, but we had a lot of Sanders supporters within labor, and a lot of them were there yesterday, too. And we're uniting, if I can be so presumptuous to speak for labor, since I'm retired, we are uniting behind Clinton. So that's my perception of the meeting was that It's a spirited bunch. It's a solid bunch, and we're solid as a labor caucus.
Okay, then.
Behind Clinton.
All right, then. That was you answered the next question, because apparently you did see, you know, signs of unity. Mike, let's get back to us in terms of being, you know, we're union members from Colorado, Colorado union delegates. Did you see or are you aware of any Colorado union delegates? What's that?
I'm sorry. I was just going to say I'm aware of them, but I haven't really hooked up with much of the Colorado delegation yet. I went out and had dinner with three or four of my friends the other night from Colorado, and I'm going to go down tonight. There's a reception for Colorado delegates, and I'm going to see the whole crowd tonight, this evening, after the convention, though. After the convention gets gaveled this evening.
Okay.
There's going to be a Colorado gathering, so.
So, in other words, that was what I was going to ask next about, do you plan to do any outreach, which you apparently have, to any members of the overall elected members of the Colorado delegation, albeit your past relations within the Colorado Democratic Party, because one thing I forgot, I mean, you've had a number of good titles in your life, and one was State Representative House District Number 3, so that's going to be more inclusive tonight in terms of all those people. You're going to get to see them.
Oh, you bet. You bet. You bet. Yeah.
All right, then.
Looking forward to it, brother.
Mike, let's get on to this. Union issues, workers, and their families. And you can take your time on this. Could you comment on the following union worker issues most likely to be discussed at the Democratic National Convention? And I kind of shared some when I have it. There's a lot of them. I have here minimum wage increase, single-payer health care, immigrant undocumented workers, their rights in terms of, you know, being here in the United States and should be able to work, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, and there's others. So go ahead. Take your pick and go ahead.
Well, I was talking to some labor delegates yesterday when I got to the reception, and there is a sense of satisfaction with how each one of these issues was addressed in the Democratic platform, and especially contrasted to the Republican Party platform, which gives, you know, working family issues short shrift. The Democratic platform actually addresses the issues. Now, you know, the platform is words, and words aren't actions, but at least I can just say that the feeling is that Democratic Party understands these issues and addresses these issues and takes them on head on rather than sweeping them under the rug. So, the minimum wage increase, very, very important around the country. Colorado has been a leader in increasing our minimum wages on the state level. The feds have lagged behind, but there's an important plank in the platform about increasing the federal minimum wage. Single-payer health care, we didn't get everything we needed in Obamacare, and we've got to continue to work towards a single-payer health care system, and that was addressed in the platform also. Immigration, a very, very tough, difficult issue to deal with, to figure out. It's a complex issue, I should say, rather than difficult. It's a complex issue. It's not as simple as Donald Trump and a lot of the Republican immigrant bashers make it seem. So comprehensive immigration reform is still the way to go. The party, of course, realizes that, and it's addressed really well in the platform. So, that's good. And the TPP, Trans-Pacific Partnership, definitely an issue that's got to go back to the drawing board. And the platform's a little bit hazy, a little bit fuzzy on it, but it's moving in the right direction, as far as the fact that, there's got to be a lot more thought put into a treaty like this that addresses relocation dislocation, the dislocations that will come about in people's jobs. And the Democratic Party's talking about that. It's part of the platform. So all four of those issues, labor's, my read was that they're very satisfied with the fact that they're addressed, they're in the platform, A gentleman from AFSCME was part of the platform committee, Paul Booth, who's a, you know, kind of a revered leader with the State County Municipal Employees Union. And he was talking about how they addressed it in the platform and how he's satisfied that, you know, we've got people's attention and it's the position that espouses is in line pretty much with the labor position. So,
all right, then, Mike.
Anyway, yeah.
Let's finish up this segment of the show with this. Hillary Clinton, Tim Kaine. Based on what you have seen and or heard from union delegates, representatives, do you believe there will be solid support for this quote-unquote ticket? If so, why?
Oh, I think there'll be solid support. And why? Because this is, the labor folks, especially labor activists, are realistic. And, you know, a lot of labor folks work for Bernie. I myself was for Joe Biden. And I was disappointed Joe didn't run. But you always come to a point where, you've got to be unified. And one thing about labor is, although we've got various, it's called factions within labor and different constituencies and different needs and whatever, labor always comes together in the end in an election like this and gets behind the best person for the job and cranks out the labor program, which is always successful.
All right, then, Mike.
Of course, turning out our members and educating them and getting them to vote the right, for the right person.
Mike, thanks for, giving all that and in the context of the Democratic National Convention, but just stick with me here and engage me with this. I have something. Democratic National Convention, New York City, New York, August 11th through the 14th, 1980. Along with 10, 11 other union members, I was one who was an elected alternate for Kennedy from this congressional district number 2. For me, this was a memorable experience. I'd been a union member for just a couple of years, and this was absolute surprise for me. Actually, at the time, I was in a labor's union, Local 720. I was unemployed. I didn't have any kind of status or anything. But back to the 10 or 11, we were 15% of the total Colorado delegation of 70, 40 delegates and 30 alternates. And I recall, and you know some of these people, Norm Pledger, IBEW, Local 113, president of the AFL-CIO at the time, Tim Flores, secretary treasurer out of the United Steelworkers out of Pueblo, Dave Jordan, operating engineers, Local 9, I think he was working as an agent with the building trades, Anton Seferio, rest in peace, as with Tim Flores, out of the bricklayers and working for the building trades. And there was Kathy Bassino out of Pueblo. She was AFSCME. And I believe there was an Albert Montoya out of the United Rubber Workers, and I believe a Phil Hernandez, who I think was out of AFSCME. But I wanted to share that with you in the listening audience that I've been there, done that. But, Kennedy, we had a big floor fight. I was on the floor most of the time as a full delegate. But when we asked for them to release the delegates so we could vote and possibly change the nomination from Carter to Kennedy, we failed. So, and I think that might be what some of the Sanders supporters are hoping for here at this Democratic convention, but they may end up with the same result, but you got to move forward. Mike, let me get on to this. This will connect with you. Is that it's an update, actually, from about a week or so ago, the strike. Unite Here, Local Union 54, your union, at the Trump Taj Mahal Casino, Atlantic City, New Jersey. And this is a source in a commentary that Doug Cunningham, Worker Independent News, provided me. So I'll have you comment after this. The striking Unite Here, Local 54, Trump Taj Mahal workers are into the second week. Actually, now it's the fourth week of their strike. And Unite Here's Ben Begleiter says the casino owned by billionaire Carl Icahn is not recognizing and respecting the hard work the 1,000 strikers do daily in Atlantic City hospitality industry. Quote from Ben Begleiter, spokesman for Unite here, the Taj Mahal did not recognize the substantial contributions that the workers in the city make to the hospitality industry the way that the four other properties that we negotiated with and settled contracts with did. And again, just furthermore, Unite Here Local 54 president, Bob McDevitt, who I believe, Mike, you know, says the workers are on strike to keep their middle-class jobs from an investor hell-bent on destroying them. You have any comments about that, Mike?
Oh, yeah. that is my old union, my former union, Unite Here. And they have quite a program in Atlantic City. Atlantic City has come upon hard times recently, and they've been fighting, like in a lot of other cities, to hold on to middle-class jobs. And that's what this battle's about, the best I can understand it. You've got a property that's in the middle of a, I guess you call it a financial flim-flam of sorts, where Donald Trump sold up to Carl Icahn, and Carl Icahn is taking it into bankruptcy of some sort. I really don't have all the details of it, but
well, the bankruptcy was in 2014, and you know, again, judges let you eliminate the collective bargaining agreements, but that's 2 years ago, and they're making a lot of money. So go ahead.
They're making a lot of money. If they weren't making a lot of money, they wouldn't be in business. Carl Icahn and Donald Trump, no matter what you say about them, know how to make a buck. And they're doing well with that property, whatever way it's been structured. But, you know, it's never enough. And you have Carl Icahn now trying to take it out of the hides of the workers, and the workers are pushing back. They're not crazy. Union members are negotiators by that's just the way we come up. We're educated, we're taught, and we're negotiators, not fighters. But when they push you back against the wall, you got no choice but to fight. And you've got one of the most progressive hotel restaurant unions in the country, in Atlantic City, and they're going to win this battle. It's going to take time, but they've been in this position before, and they know how to do it. And they're gonna eventually get a good contract from Icahn or whoever is owning this property, and they're going to continue their fight to maintain the middle class in Atlantic City.
All right, then, Mike. I think about 4 minutes left. 5 minutes. But engage me with this. We can comment afterwards. I got another commentary that I want to read, provided by Doug Cunningham, Worker Independent News, and it is about Philando Castile. He was the black man shot to death by police in Minnesota, and he was a member of Teamsters Local Number 320 in Minneapolis. In wake of the protests against the killing and the horrific, killing of police officers in Dallas, and Teamsters Local 320 President Sammy Gabriel told Worker Independent News the local is feeling the terrible loss of Philando and plans to be involved in helping to support his family. Again, Sammy Gabriel, quote-unquote, says, "It's a tragedy to have one of our Teamster members, who has been with us as a Teamster since 2002, that's 14 years. Phil was a gentle soul, well-respected nutrition service supervisor, was well-respected by the staff that he supervised every day and by the kids and staff that he fed breakfast and lunch to every day. It's truly heart-wrenching." Gabriel goes on to say, Local 320 also represents some law enforcement officers in Minnesota, though not the one who shot and killed Castile. He says, "We have a lot of law enforcement. This is equally heart-wrenching for those members that see these acts of violence. And, of course, Dallas rips your heart out, and you feel for your brother officers that are going on the street every day, even with what's happening. Continue to go out and do their job day after day." Mike, I know that we both know is that we just have situations now, and this goes back to Michael Brown in Ferguson, New Jersey, whose mom was a member of USAW. We have, and Trump right away addressed it, we have union members or union members' children being killed by union members who are police officers. Any comments, Mike?
Difficult situations. Granted, tough job police officers have. I've always been an advocate for police officers to have the highest level of training, that they be paid well, and treated professionally, and always expect officers to act very professionally also. Sometimes that breaks down, and there are procedures to deal with it, but it's definitely an issue that is reaching a boiling point that's got to be addressed. Shooting unarmed people. We'll see where it goes, but difficult situation, but there's got to be some kind of resolution. Stuff like this can't just keep going on, and especially targeting police officers in revenge or whatever you want to call it because of one incident here or, here or there. That's where it really gets the temperature really gets turned up there.
Mike, we have about 1 minute. In the context of the Democratic National Convention, where you're at and you're going to be active in one way or another in Philadelphia, your hometown, do you have any final thoughts? Mm-hmm. Do you have any final thoughts or comments for the KGNU listening audience?
Oh, not a lot. I think I said a lot, but it's just an exciting time here. I have a friend of mine, Mike Stratton, a well-known Colorado political person who's in town, and I offered to help him, told him anything I could do to help, let me know. I'm hoping he doesn't call me back because I know Mike. He'll have me blowing up balloons and making signs and running out for adult beverages to everybody. Going to go for a week, so hopefully he doesn't call me back. But I did make the offer. But anyway, it's just an exciting time, fun time to be here. Great convention, and looking forward to taking this feeling into the fall.
All right, then, Mike, thank you for being on Labor Exchange at KGNU. And for those of you who have joined us late, the subject of tonight on the Labor Exchange was a report from the Democratic National Convention, Philadelphia, PA, July 25th through 28th, 2016, and other labor news. And with us was a very special guest on the ground there, Mike Serbo, retired past executive director of Colorado AFL-CIO and past president, Unite Here, Local Union 23, AFL-CIO. If you have any comments about this show or any other show on KGNU, please call 303-447-9911. And next week, Monday, August 1st, 2016, please listen to La Lucha Sigue at 6 p.m. This has been a Labor Exchange. I'm Dennis Kreese for KGNU Boulder, KGNU Denver, and KGNU.org.
Dip, 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 dip.